Well, welcome this morning to you all. This morning we continue with looking at the story of Rahab. In the second chapter of Joshua. And it's a story that precedes the taking of Jericho. So while we may be well familiar with the story of the Battle of Jericho, this story is vital in understanding what that is all about. Because Rahab is the means by which things are prepared that what is represented by Jericho can be overcome. And so we're going to look in a little bit more detail today at what leads up to this Battle of Jericho and what it is, what Rahab is within us, and what Jericho is. So today we'll be dealing with that, and next time we will be also looking at more detail as to what it means for Rahab to be described as a harlot. Because if we bring a moral sense to this, we will miss the point. We need to bring a spiritual understanding of what a harlot represents in a good sense, in order to understand what Rahab is, because as you will see, Rahab is actually preserved and saved, if you like, from out of Jericho. So this is an important point. And so what we're working with now is the idea of attributing merit or taking credit. This is what Jericho is all about. And it is something that we do constantly. And so if you did actually engage in the task that I gave you last week to notice those times when you do that, you will see that not a day goes by, perhaps not even an hour goes by, where we're either not taking credit for something, claiming merit, or are being offended that we don't get what we think is due, the credit and appreciation that we think we deserve. This is the first obstacle to entering the land. This taking credit is what stops us moving further into what the Lord has promised for us. And the reason it prevents us from moving into what the Lord has for us is because when this belief sits within us and we act from it, we shut the Lord out. So we're going to be looking at that this morning. So our reading again is obviously from the book of Joshua, chapter 2, reading verses 1 to 6. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened that as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Now, reading this morning from the Heavenly Doctrines is from the work The Arcana Celestia. That's number 1712. What else can people who are in ignorance know than that the good they do is their own, and that the truth they think is their own? The same applies to people who ascribe the good deeds they do to themselves and place merit in them, unaware of the fact that in this case those deeds are not good, though they appear to be so, and that the proprium and the self-merit they place in them are evils and falsities that cause obscurity and darkness. The same applies in many other instances. What evil and falsity are like, and how much evil and falsity lie concealed in such deeds, cannot possibly be seen so clearly in the life of the body as in the next life, where these are presented to view altogether as in broad daylight. But it is different if a person acts out of ignorance, that is, that has not been confirmed. For in that case, those evils and falsities are easily dispersed. But if people confirm themselves in the notion that they are able to do good and to withstand evil by their own powers, and that they thus merit salvation, such a notion remains attached and causes the good to be evil and the truth to be falsity. Yet for all this, order requires that a person should do good as though from himself, and ought not therefore to stay his hand and to think to himself, "If I am unable to do anything good at all from myself, I must wait for immediate influx," and so remain inactive. This is also contrary to order. Man ought to do good as though from himself, but when he stops to reflect on the good he is doing or has done, let him think, acknowledge, and believe that the Lord present with him has accomplished it. So we see that Rahab is a character who is marked by her relationship to the children of Israel and their taking of the land, and that she is willing to hide these spies that were sent out by Joshua to get the lie of the land and also to gather intelligence regarding the city of Jericho. So last time we considered a basic principle of spiritual development, which was this, that when truth is received into the life, it raises our awareness in a way that we are able to see what opposes it or what is opposite to it, the false ideas and reasonings that actually oppose that truth. Now, the heavenly doctrines teach that we are able to see what is false from what is true, but that a person is unable to see what is true from what is false. In this sense, truth is light. It sheds light on our states and what is false and what is evil. And so we need the Word if we are to progress in spiritual life, because the Word offers us truths. We cannot come up with truths from ourselves. We need help. We are in desperate need of help. And so the Lord has given us His Word and the heavenly doctrines for that very purpose, to assist us to come to see what it is that needs dealing with in our life. Now, we saw how this principle was illustrated in our text by looking at the relationship and what it spiritually represented between Shittim and what is represented by Jericho, and that the connection between these two places, if you like, is highlighted by the two spies that are sent out from Shittim to Jericho. So that is the connection. There is a connection between Shittim and Jericho, and that connection is a connection of states that exist within the human mind when truths are sent out. So we looked at that. And we found that these spies, when they ended up in Jericho, they lodged with Rahab. So we saw that the two spies represent truths from the Word that provides us with the ability to see the quality of our inner states of life. The spies, they serve Joshua, and they are sent out by Joshua, and they are the means by which information can be gathered and channeled back into what Joshua represents. And so the spies, in a sense, in that sense, are the eyes of Israel at this point in their campaign. So we know that Joshua is the Word when we begin to apply it to life. And so we see that these spies are sent out, and represent truths that come into activity when we're looking to apply the word to our life. Our ability to see anything within ourselves as to our states of affection and thought comes from the Lord. And by the Lord, we mean it comes from the truths that are His Word. Because these truths are the Lord with us. Now, in regard to these spies, it is interesting to note also that the Hebrew word for spies also carries the meaning to walk about. So that teaches us that these truths represented by the spies that come out of Shittim are connected with our willingness to walk or live from the truths of the word. For to walk means to be active in the application of spiritual teachings to life. Now, the particular kinds of truths represented by the spies are those that arise from the work of self-examination and repentance. By applying the truths we have to life, and by life we mean the interior life of the mind with its thoughts and affections, and not the exterior life of the body. It is through the applications of truths to the interior life that the mind is able then to gain a perception by which we can see the quality of those things that lie within us. Last time we looked in depth at the meaning of Shittim and the wood that comes from it, acacia wood. We established from the word and the heavenly doctrines that Shittim is, as a place, represents a state of acknowledgement of a particular kind of truth. And that truth that needs to be acknowledged before self-examination can truly begin, represented by Shittim, is that the Lord alone is righteous and deserving of merit. That is the truth that Shittim is. And so it is that we saw that this acknowledgement marks the beginning of being able to enter into the spiritual work of self-examination, which was represented again by these spies, or what observes. That's what spies do, being sent out from Joshua, the word applied to life, from Shittim, or that acacia grove. It is only as we acknowledge the Lord or the Word as being righteous and deserving of all merit that we can even begin to see what is in us that claims righteousness for itself and merit for what rightfully belongs to the Lord and the Lord alone. So coming back to that principle that I mentioned at the very beginning, when we come into a truth, we are empowered to see what it is within us that opposes it. So when we truly come into an acknowledgement that the Lord alone is righteous, that the Lord alone is deserving of merit, then we can begin to see the things within us that oppose that truth. But until we acknowledge that, we can't see the things that are going on within our states of life. What opposes this truth is represented in our story by Jericho. And Jericho, in our story, as it's represented here, is the idea that we can save ourselves, that our goodness somehow can get us into heaven. That's what Jericho represents. Now, over the course of this week, you're offered an opportunity to work at a task, to observe in yourself the tendency to take credit for things that you have done, or to notice when you have felt offended due to the fact that people don't give you the praise you think you deserve or think you are owed. Now, if you did this task, you would in fact have come into entering into this story in terms of your own experience. Because through doing that task, all these elements come alive in us. You would have found that this tendency to take credit or merit for the good you do is constantly raising its ugly head. Either in attempts to draw the attention of others to what you have done, or in feelings of resentment when others don't seem to acknowledge the good work you've done or give you the praise you feel you deserve. This is Jericho. Now, one of the valuable things that comes out of doing a task like this is that we very quickly come to see that what we say we believe is often not backed up by the affections and thoughts we entertain inwardly. What the quality of our inner life experience shows is that while we may acknowledge truths with our lips, in this case, that the Lord alone is righteous and deserving of all merit, our actual life, the life of our mind, our external mind, says something very different. It says the opposite of that. And what matters is not what we say, but what's going on internally. That's what needs to be dealt with. So doing a little exercise or task like this is extremely valuable because it actually brings into conscious awareness inner spiritual associations that we are entertaining and that constantly work to undermine our quality of life. Claiming merit for the good we do shuts the Lord out and it invites the hells in. But if we are prepared to work at seeing this tendency in ourselves from the truths of the word, that is, from the spies of Shittim, we will then be placed in a position where we can be empowered to work with the Lord to have such things separated from us so that they no longer influence our states. But if we don't look, if we don't examine, if we don't do this with a view of working with the Word to have these things removed, then nothing is possible. Jericho remains. Now, the problem with claiming the merit for doing good to oneself is that it is closely associated with the belief that we can save ourselves. In other words, we live in the illusion that because we appear to be good people externally, that this somehow qualifies us for heaven. I just want to read a quote from Heaven and Hell, and it brings a bit of clarity around the falsity of this belief. So this is a comment made in Heaven and Hell on the state of those entering the spiritual world after death, things they have to confront. And it says this: many of them, that is those entering the spiritual world, think they will get into heaven because they lead moral, or they have led moral and civic lives in the world, not reflecting that both evil and good people lead similar outward lives, being similarly helpful to others, going to church, listening to sermons, and praying similarly, utterly unaware that outward behavior and outward worship accomplish nothing whatever. Only inner realities that give rise to these outer ones are effective. Scarcely one in thousands even knows what inner realities are, or that they are the focal point of heaven and the church for us. even fewer realize that the quality of our outward actions is determined by the quality of our intentions and thoughts and the love and faith within them from which our actions arise. Even when they're told, they do not grasp the fact that it is the quality of their thinking and intending that actually makes the difference. What a profound statement. That's found in Heaven and Hell 495. So this is why spiritual Christianity, this is why we take an inner focus. For it is the inner application of the word that matters. The heavenly doctrines give us the ability to see what's within us so that we don't get an overly inflated view of ourselves and live in a false sense of merit. Externals, it says here, actually count for nothing if internals are not being attended to. The acknowledgement represented by Shittim is the acknowledgement that in and of ourselves we are completely powerless in regard to spiritual matters. This is the meaning of the Lord's words, "Without me you can do nothing." When this acknowledgement is of the life and not just of the lips, then we are in a position to begin to see the true nature of what's represented by Jericho and what's represented by Rahab the harlot. Now, cities, as we have seen before, these correspond to ideas and concepts we pull together and live in. The beliefs we live in. That's what a city corresponds to. So as such, they represent forms of doctrine and belief. And so when these cities are populated by the children of Israel, this represents that they are filled with things from the word that are good and true. But when they are populated by Canaanites, which are the enemies of Israel, then they represent things that are evil and false, or those things connected to selfishness that arise from the love of self and love of the world. So depending on the context, a city can have a good or an evil correspondence. Now, when you think about Jericho at this stage, it's populated with Canaanites. So it must correspond to a belief structure that supports a life that is opposed to what is spiritual. The spies or the truths of Shittim are truths from the word that we can use to investigate and discern the quality of this particular form of evil and falsity represented by Jericho. When we truly acknowledge that the Lord is the only one who is righteous and deserving of merit, then we can see within ourselves those things that set themselves up to claim righteousness and merit for themselves. You see, we need to be aware that the deep-set beliefs we hold to are what spirits from the spiritual world use to gain influence over our life. And the stronger a particular belief is, the more entrenched those spiritual associations and influences will be in that particular area of our life. Jericho sits just inside the border of Canaan, just beyond the Jordan River. Now, because of this, its correspondence in a good sense relates to teaching that is designed to introduce us into the spiritual or heavenly life. The city of Jericho has a strong association with palm trees. In fact, it is called the City of Palms. And like acacia and other trees in the word, palm trees also represent an acknowledgement of a form of spiritual truth. In the case of palms, it is an acknowledgement of the Lord as Savior. And we can confirm this from the word. You'll recall that when the Lord entered Jerusalem, the people waved palms shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, Hosanna means save us now. And in the book of Revelation, we also see a connection made between palms and the Lord as Savior, where John beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." So Jericho's association with palms means that it represents the knowledge of the Lord as the Savior. And when you're traveling through a desert and you see a grove of palms, you have a sense of delight, a sense of being saved, because it designates that there is water and food available. So Jericho is the knowledge, in a positive sense, that the Lord is the Savior. But when it's inhabited by Canaanites, it means the opposite. The meaning gets reversed. That is, it is a belief that we can somehow save ourselves without actually attending to the things that belong to our inner mental life. This belief is closely tied to the idea of merit, where salvation is adjudged to be tied to our own sense of goodness. The proprium or ego is confirmed in the belief that it is good, and so it works to produce exterior forms of moral and civil good that people place their confidence in. But as we saw from that quote from Heaven and Hell, such confidence is misplaced. Now, from our reading, from the outset, from the Arcana, there we see, of course, that most people who don't have access to truths that teach otherwise, it's unavoidable that they end up taking credit for the good that they do, and so they attribute merit to themselves. They do this in ignorance. Now, this flows from the fact that the life we have feels as if it is our own. Now, foundation truth of spiritual Christianity is that life is not our own, but that it flows into us from the Lord. If we really believe that, then we would never claim anything for ourselves. But without knowing this, everything done by a person is believed by them to be done from themselves. And the result of this is that they naturally claim merit and goodness as their own. But thankfully, as we saw from that reading, no one is held accountable for falsities or evils that arise due to an ignorance of truths. And it is this state of ignorance that we all begin from. So the task that we looked at doing over this week, this shows us how we all attribute good to ourselves and have a strong tendency to claim merit. So if you did not do the task, then I encourage you to do it over this week, because we're still dealing with this story. And it's important, because when you see examples of it working in your own life, the word just becomes that much more alive for you. This raw desire to do good and the delight we feel when we do good, this is actually from the Lord. It's how He leads us and guides us. But until the Lord is acknowledged, and while a person remains in ignorance of truths concerning the Lord, the good that is done and the delight that is felt will always be tainted with merit-seeking due to the fact that the loves of self and the loves of the world are within it. But it is a starting point, and it's important in that sense. The starting point is an affection that dwells within people, and it's something that the Lord can use to draw them to Himself. In its rudimentary, unclean state, this affection is represented in our story as a harlot named Rahab. Interestingly, the name Rahab, one of its meanings, is pride. And this speaks of the pride we take in our own sense of merit. But this affection represented by Rahab, an affection for doing good, but is obscured because it claims merit to itself, needs to be purified so that the Lord alone can be seen as the one deserving of merit. What this story shows us is that this need to be acknowledged and receive praise, to take credit and claim merit, is something that needs to be investigated through self-examination. It needs to be seen for what it is. We need to call it for what it is, or else it will have us and it will obstruct what the Lord is seeking to do in our life. The Word teaches us that it is there, and that while it remains unnoticed, mental cities, mental forts, like Jericho, will remain an obstacle in the spiritual life. The desire to do good and the delight we feel is the Lord's gift to every person. But we are not to claim it or take credit for it or take merit from it. When we are able to free this delight, free this affection for truth from merit seeking and credit taking, then it becomes something pure and good. This can only take place as we find in ourselves these spies of Shittim, that when they become active, when we look to actually examine where this merit seeking is in us, get a sense of how it works for us personally. It's as we do that in this act of self-examination that these things can be exposed and that we can begin to work with the Lord to have them dealt with. So next time we will look at some detail at how this affection for truth represented by Rahab is able to be used by the Lord to protect what is of Himself within us. Amen.